and others for evidence in his upcoming trial. Judge Tanya Chutkan, on Monday, 27th of November, denied Trump's request after his lawyers had asked the court in October to approve subpoenas for records from the National Archives and Records Administration, the House Administration Committee. Representative Benny Thompson, the Democratic chair of the House January 6 panel, and others. Attorneys for Donald Trump allege there are missing records from the now disbanded committee that they would like for pre-trial preparation. But members of the committee say there is no missing material. Donald Trump's attorneys have not yet said whether they'll appeal Judge Tanya Chutkan's decision. The former president has pleaded not guilty to four felony charges accusing him of trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Donald Trump's attorneys had asked Judge Tanya Chutkan to recuse herself from the case, but she said she would not do so. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. A judge on Monday, 27th of November, rejected Donald Trump's request to see records from the congressional investigation of the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, which the former president said may be relevant to his defense against election interference charges. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan in Washington found that Donald Trump has not sufficiently justified his request for information tied to the Democratic-led House of Representatives probe, which concluded in 2022. Donald Trump sought to subpoena materials that his lawyers said were missing from the House investigation, including transcripts and video recordings of interviews with law enforcement officials. The judge concluded that prosecutors had already given Donald Trump written transcripts of those interviews and that Trump's attorneys had not shown how video footage of those same conversations could be relevant to his defense. Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty to charges that he illegally sought to overturn his defeat in the 2020 election. The case brought by special counsel Jack Smith is one of four criminal cases facing Trump, the frontrunner for the Republican nomination in 2024. Following a separate court ruling, Jack Smith's team on Monday made public new information about the January search warrant issued to Twitter, now known as X, for information on Donald Trump's account. The warrant sought information on all electronic devices that accessed Donald Trump's account between October of 2020 and January of 2021, as well as the content of direct messages sent and received from the account, according to court filings. Trump's Twitter account was suspended following the 2021 riot at the Capitol by his supporters. The sanction was lifted in November of 2022 after the platform was taken over by Elon Musk. Prosecutors convinced the judge to bar Twitter from informing Donald Trump about the warrant, a move the company opposed. Trump is also set to testify for a second time in his ongoing civil fraud trial in New York on 11th of December, his lawyers confirmed on Monday, 27th of November. In defiant and rambling testimony, on 6th of November, Donald Trump denied the New York Attorney General's allegations that he inflated his net worth to dupe lenders. The broadcaster CNBC has also covered the same story. A federal judge on Monday, 27th of November, denied a request by Donald Trump to issue subpoenas for records related to a select House committee that investigated the January 6 Capitol riot. Donald Trump was seeking the subpoenas as part of his defense to criminal charges relating to his attempt to reverse his loss in the 2020 presidential election. The January 6, 2021 riot by Trump supporters began after weeks of false claims by the then-president that ballot fraud was the reason for Joe Biden's election victory. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, in her order denying the subpoenas, suggested that Trump's lawyers were engaged in a fishing expedition with their request. The broad scope of the records that defendant seeks and his vague description of their potential relevance resembles less a good-faith effort to obtain identified evidence than they do a general fishing expedition that attempts to use the Rule 17c subpoena as a discovery device, the judge wrote. Judge Tanya Chutkan wrote that the attorneys failed to meet their burden to justify the subpoenas, which would have been issued to the head of the National Archives, the clerk of the House of Representatives, and the chairman of the House Select Committee, and others. Donald Trump has pleaded not guilty in the case, which is pending in U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, patience. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Islam has its value system. We need to acquaint ourselves with the value system of Islam. In Islam's value system, patience is one of the important traits of a believer. Patience is an essential cause of success. It has been recommended in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, O you who believe, seek assistance through patience and prayer. Surely Allah is with the patient. Notice how Allah brought patience along with prayers. We know prayers are wajib upon a Muslim. So it can be safely said that being patient in the difficult times is a quality of a believer. And Allah has promised His assistance to those who are patient in the times of tests, trials, and tribulations. So if you notice, you know, for a believer throughout his life, in all phases, in all dimensions of his life, and under any circumstances, he's expected to be patient. He's expected to be sabir. He's expected to observe sabr, right? This patience is very important and critical. If you look through the lives of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who are the role models for all of us, you see that patience was something that was highlighted throughout the journey of their lives. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of patience. Patience is a required quality of a believer. You know, there are some qualities that if a believer is missing those, you know, they can still get away with it because they have some other qualities. But patience doesn't seem to be one of those. It is a required quality for every believer to carry. Allah has praised those who practice patience in the verses of the Holy Quran. And not just that. Allah has given glad tidings to those who are patient. Allah says in the Holy Quran, and give good news to the patient, who, when a misfortune befalls them, say, surely we are Allah's, and to Him we shall surely return. Those are they on whom are blessings and mercy from their Lord, and those are the followers of the right course. See, it's very explicit, this verse of the Holy Quran. It tells us the importance of being patient. Patience brings blessings and mercy of Allah for His righteous servants. And these truthful and patient servants of Allah are on the right course. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "And give good news to the humble, to those whose hearts tremble when Allah is mentioned, and those who are patient under that which afflicts them, and those who keep up prayer and spend benevolently out of what we have given them." Again, notice how high the status of patient ones is, that Allah gives them a good news and puts them next to those who have true reverence of Allah and those who keep up the prayers and those who spend in the way of Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. And the U.S. Influential Caucus Workers backed Nikki Haley in the GOP presidential primary. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. Americans for Prosperity Action, a libertarian conservative political policy network founded by the billionaire Koch brothers, has endorsed Nikki Haley's presidential campaign on Tuesday, 28th of November. The group's endorsement provides an influx of resources and support for Nikki Haley as she looks to establish herself as the clear challenger to former President Donald Trump. Americans for Prosperity said the endorsement will include a multi-million-dollar advertising campaign launched this week in all early and several Super Tuesday states, calling on Americans to unite behind Nikki Haley's positive vision to turn the page on today's broken politics and move our country forward. Its first advertisement supporting Haley on digital and television on Tuesday, 28th of November, counts the former South Carolina governor as a fiscal conservative, who will take on reckless spending from both parties and says that Donald Trump and President Joe Biden had their chance. They can't fix what's broken. Americans for Prosperity told reporters in a call on Tuesday it has already contacted more than 6 million voters in America about the 2024 race and claimed it has the largest grassroots operation in the country and a presence in all 50 states. The organization provided polling that suggests Nikki Haley's political identity is not as well known, which Americans for Prosperity said is a strength, not a disadvantage. As voters have gotten to know more about her, her favorable ratings as well as her ballot share has only increased, Americans for Prosperity senior advisor Michael Palmer said. Palmer added, in these early states, and then particularly going into South Carolina and Super Tuesday, it's much easier to define or to craft a narrative around a blank state with which people don't know about versus a book that's already written, which is the case with Donald Trump and also the case to a certain extent with Governor Ron DeSantis. Americans for Prosperity officials previously indicated they were looking for a Trump alternative, writing in a memo in February that the best thing for the country would be to have a president in 2025 who represents a new chapter. Americans for Prosperity did not endorse in the 2020 presidential race. Americans for Prosperity polling showed that since August, support for Ron DeSantis has fallen in Iowa and New Hampshire, while support for Nikki Haley has risen. Congratulations to Donald Trump on securing the Koch endorsement, Ron DeSantis' communications director Andrew Romeo posted on Tuesday morning, arguing that Nikki Haley is a moderate who has no mathematical pathway of defeating the former president. DeSantis himself has previously argued that Haley's electorate doesn't cut as much into Trump's voter base as his does. Every dollar spent on Nikki Haley's candidacy should be reported as an in-kind to the Trump campaign, Romeo said. Haley's team quickly reacted and threw the Florida governor's words during a Fox News interview back at him when he touted his own endorsement by Iowa evangelical leader Bob Vanderplatz. If somebody endorses somebody other than you, you don't always have to lash out and attack the person who made the endorsement. It's a primary. People can have different choices in this, and there's not always an ulterior motive, DeSantis said on Monday, 27th of November. Trump's super PAC, Make America Great Again, said the DeSantis campaign finally got it right when they bitterly attacked Americans for Prosperity for being a vessel of globalist shills, and noted Americans for Prosperity's backing of DeSantis in his gubernatorial campaigns. American for Prosperity's affiliated super PAC spent more than $69 million in the 2022 cycle, according to the Federal Election Commission disclosures. Americans for Prosperity Action has spent over $4.1 million on advertising this cycle, according to Ad Impact. Since early October, it has had a digital advertisement running in Iowa that says, "We can't beat Joe Biden until we let go of Donald Trump." The announcement by the billionaire PAC group comes just weeks ahead of the Iowa caucuses and underscores the ramping up of endorsements and suggests the Republican race is beginning to coalesce. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds and Vanderplatz backed Ron DeSantis in November, while New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu could soon be making an endorsement from his state. The cable broadcaster CNN Cable News Network has also covered this story. The influential network associated with billionaire Charles Koch will throw its money and influence behind former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley in the Republican presidential primary, the group announced on Tuesday, 28th of November. The decision could dramatically reshape the Republican field roughly 7 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, as Americans for Prosperity Action deploys its vast resources and standing army of conservative activists on behalf of the former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. The endorsement marks the latest sign that powerful Republican donors are coalescing behind the candidacy of the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Nikki Haley has seen prominent figures join her campaign in recent weeks, particularly after South Carolina Senator Tim Scott exited the race. Earlier this year, Americans for Prosperity Action, a political arm of Koch's network, pledged to back a single contender in the GOP presidential primary for the first time in its history, and it made clear that it would bypass former President Donald Trump in its quest to find what Emily Zeidel, a top American for Prosperity official, called a president who represents a new chapter. When we announced our decision to engage in our first ever Republican presidential primary, we made it clear that we'd be looking for a candidate who can turn the page on our political dysfunction and win. It's clear that candidate is Nikki Haley. We can't keep looking to the politicians of the past to fix problems of today. Nikki Haley represents a new generation of leadership and offers a bold, positive vision for our future. Americans for Prosperity Action is proud to be endorsing her, and we will be doing everything we can to help her make the next president of the United States. The effort will begin with a multi-multi-million-dollar advertising campaign in support of Nikki Haley launched this week in all early and several Super Tuesday states. And the group touted its data capabilities, including a contact database with millions of American voters and its extensive grassroots reach. Zeidel did not disclose a budget on behalf of Nikki Haley, but the network has spent hundreds of millions of dollars in previous election cycles, rivaling the financial might of the Republican National Committee, the RNC. Nikki Haley herself issued a statement saying, "Americans for Prosperity Action members know that there is too much at stake in this election to sit on the sidelines. This is a choice between freedom and socialism, individual liberty and big government, fiscal responsibility and spiraling debt. We have a country to save, and I'm grateful to have Americans for Prosperity Action by my side."
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true guide.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. I'm Mustafa as your host, and with me is Brother Alavi in the studio. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much. In the last episode, we were discussing, I think for me, it was a very, it made me sort of want to be in the time when the imam actually comes back, right? Now, I really want to be in that time. We were discussing what are the characteristics of the imam's government? What will it look like? And one of the things that we said is that reviving of the culture of the Quran,
yeah,
that will be widespread, that the Quran will be deep in our lives and we will be valuing it for what it is. What are some other characteristics that you can tell us about apart from is there other things that we should know about?
Definitely, if we search the narrations and hadith, or even the supplications that have come, we have received from the infallible imams, with regard to the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the awaited Imam, the last savior, we can find plenty of features of his government that I think we need to sit for hours and hours just to talk about the beauties of that government.
Right.
That, as you said, that it makes us thirsty of watching and seeing those
right,
beautiful scenes of his government. And after the revival of the culture of Quran, we have in a hadith that at the time of Imam, we shall face a sort of abundance in blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the earth and from the heaven.
Okay.
We mean that the earth will change into a better area for living because the earth will become fruitful for every kind of, let's say, plants. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in this regard, إذا قام القائم عليه السلام حكم بالعدل وارتفع في أيامه الجور وآمنت به السبل وأخرجت الأرض بركاتها. That is, the earth will show its blessings to the inhabitants of the earth.
One thing I just want to add is that I think one of the things that we're seeing right now with the earth, it's being polluted, right?
Yeah.
With factories and cars and all. And this is this type of injustice, I think, we're seeing being done against the earth, which is probably limiting the earth's potential.
Mm.
We can sort of even logically see that if this injustice were to be removed, the earth would probably give back abundance, right? That could be one way. And I will let you continue right after this short break.
Thank you.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
So we're back, and during the break, we continued discussing, even during the break, you know, this topic of what will the world look like? What will be the characteristics of the government of the Imam? And how you were saying there's going to be abundance of blessings from the earth and the sky. And my point was that, you know, I can even logically see that happening because maybe pollution and factories and all this stuff will go away. That sort of environmental injustice that's being done, that will go away. And that makes sense. That will bring abundance to the world.
Very true. We have in a hadith one of the reasons that Allah's blessings actually become restricted to us and limited to us. This is due to the sins that we are committing, or the actions of ours rather than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite famous that if we continue reciting lots of istighfar, that is just from the bottom of our heart, ask for repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall find the blessings that come to us, materially and spiritually. You can practice it. Those who are those who face poverty, when referred to, for example, a person I remember referred to the late Ayatollah Bajati, asked him that I'm suffering from poverty. He asked him to repeat lots of istighfar and to recite lots of istighfar in a day. I mean, I think that a number was said. I don't know if it was 1,000 or 40 consecutive days. Or the salawat that includes istighfar inside it. I mean, the salawat itself, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, includes istighfar inside it. So when you say istighfar, you repent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the blessings of Allah will come to you. At the time of Imam, the committing of the sins is not going to... I don't want to say that people will not commit any sin anymore.
Right.
But at least there is stoppage for those who excessed or who had lots of tendency towards...
It's not going to be widespread corruption on a societal level.
So then the blessings of Allah will be in abundance for the people. The security comes to the roads. Mm-hmm. And then the earth will show its real capacity to the people and the inhabitants of the earth.
What we'll see is there will be like a marriage of spirituality but materialistic, right? Right
there
now
too.
The world is like so purely materialistic. We're divorced from spirituality. We're seeing the Imams here. When those two marry, there will be this amazing abundance of materialism as well as spirituality. Is that correct?
Very
would
true.
That be
yeah,
to explain that's
true. Yeah. Because one of the characteristics of the government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the spread of spirituality among the people. And that was what you refer to is very true.
Okay. So two things that we've highlighted during the Imam's government. One would be the reviving of the culture of the Quran, and there will be abundance of blessings for humanity. Once we come back from the break, we'll continue with this discussion on what the characteristics of the Imam.
There are references to a person who will come as the savior of mankind.
I know he's one of the Ahlul Bayt and the last one, and he's going to change the world.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Okay, so we're back from the break, and we're discussing, you know, what the Imam's government, what the world will look like once the Imam is here. And you were going to tell us a few more details about that. Can you continue with that?
Yeah.
What else will be happening?
With regard to the abundance of blessings of the earth and heaven, I can refer to another narration from Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the second Imam, when he said that تخرج الأرض نباتا وتنزل السماء بركاتها وتظهر له الكنوز. That is, the earth will show its plants. I mean, the plants will come out of the earth, and also the blessings of sky and heaven will come to the people, to the inhabitants of the earth. And the treasuries will be disclosed to the people.
Okay.
Treasures of skies and treasures of heaven and the earth. So again, we have the same. We have a similar narration from Baqir alayhi salam. But the next distinguished characteristic of the government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the establishment of prayers. That is salat specifically. By prayers here, I mean not supplications. Prayers, that is salat, namaz.
The five times that we do prayer, five wajib prayers.
You might be asking, okay, we are praying every day. I mean, so what's the wrong with our prayers?
Right.
So we, alhamdulillah, we pray.
I mean, right now we have Muslims, so many mosques.
Yeah,
right?
Too many people and too many, all Muslim communities all around the world, almost 2 million Muslims are praying day and night.
Right.
So let's ask ourselves, if our prayers, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. So if our prayers work properly, so why shouldn't we see the output and the result of it, that it prevents us from fahsha and munkar? That is, I mean...
So you're saying that prayer should be preventing evil acts and depravity and disobedience. Yeah?
But how come that all of us Muslims are watching whatever is happening in Gaza, in Palestine, and I mean, no one says anything. So does it mean that our prayers are working properly, like what they have to? So it means that some part of it is missing. I mean, there is something wrong, but the prayer should be in the right, in the best, I mean, in the right sense.
Question would be, what's going to be the difference, though? Like, you're saying we're still praying. People are still going to be praying there. What's going to cause the difference for that evil not to occur again? That's not clear for me.
The difference is that when we pray and in this prayer, there is no sense of guardianship of Imam. The sense of wilaya is actually in the prayers that people are praying.
The sense of
guardianship and the leadership of the Islamic Ummah. In the Islamic Ummah, there is a father, a guardian for the Islamic Ummah. Because in this kind of prayer, then the prayer makes sense. You see? So this sense has been inserted in the prayer in that time, and that's the result of it.
We can say though that for even now, if someone has that sense of guardianship and that sense of knowledge, they are able to attain that level of where in their own lives they're able to prevent evil acts. So you're saying that that will be widespread.
That will get perfected at the time of Imam.
مهدينا في الأزمان شع ضياءه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ما ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه.
We just have maybe just one or two more minutes for this episode. Is there any final thing that you would like to share with us, enlighten us what that amazing government will look like that I wish would start yesterday, you know?
Look, again, we said that Imam alayhi salam will pay attention to the prayers, salat. But we have in the supplications of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, we call him As-salamu alayka hina tusalli. That is,
what does that mean?
Peace be upon you at the time that you pray. So because he is, again, we talked about the name of Imam as he is adl, he is just.
Yes.
I mean, as-salamu ala al-adl al-muntadhar, that is, peace be upon you, oh, the purified, the awaited justice.
Yeah.
The awaited justice. So we see that Imam is that important that we call it, you are the sample, the symbol and the example of prayer. So we view the prayer finds its meaning because you have been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give meaning to this prayer. So if we see that whatever comes to us is due to your absence, the lack of you among our communities. So yes. When you come and you give meaning to this prayer, so it means that we are waiting for the changes to happen. If we correct our prayer, brother, if we correct our prayer, if we perform our prayer in the right way, we can find the result, as you said, even today.
Right.
We can find the output of these prayers and that can work properly for the sake of the Islamic Ummah first and for our personal affairs as well.
I think all the characteristics that we've discussed, we want to try and apply and implement them in our lives today.
Right?
We don't. God knows better when the Imam will actually come. You know, it may not happen in our life.
Yeah.
We don't know. We hope that it happens tomorrow.
Before Imam comes, we have been told that in qubilat qubila ma sawa wa in ruddat rudda ma sawa, that if prayers have been accepted, all other actions are accepted. If prayers or salat have been rejected, all the other acts are rejected. So it means that even at this time, we have this ruling among ourselves and this belief and concept among ourselves. But we are waiting for a universality of this concept to happen.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this discussion and I definitely learned so much from you. This was really an honor for me to be here and to
it's
be able to discuss
for
with
me
you.
To be here.
And, you know, my desire for the Imam's arrival has increased tenfold, hundredfold after today's discussion. And I really pray that it happens soon. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Latest figures show that nearly 13,500 people in the Republic of Ireland were homeless last month, the highest number ever recorded. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Irish Times has covered this story and tells us more. Latest figures show that almost 4,000 children across the Republic of Ireland will be left homeless over Christmas, and a gloomy Department of Housing report reveals a record 13,179 people are searching for a place to live. Among them are 3,991 children, the highest number in Ireland since records began 10 years ago. The total figure rose by 352 between September and October of this year, and there has been an overall 17% rise through the year. The highest bracket of homeless people, coming in at 4,850, are aged between 25 and 44. And 2,591 people with no home are aged from 45 to 64. Tanya Ward, the chief executive of Children's Rights Alliance, said, The pressure that the issue piles on some of Ireland's younger citizens is immense. Tanya Ward added, children are often ashamed to tell people that they're homeless. She added, often parents spend huge amounts of time travelling across the city to keep them in their old schools, adding, smaller children are not getting space to play and are really missing all those developmental milestones. The grind of living through homelessness leaves a terrible legacy on a family. Dermot Murphy, DePaul's Director of Services and Development, says extra effort is put into trying to make Christmas special for people without a home. Dermot Murphy added, we're facing into the winter now knowing that families are in an unstable accommodation and they have a lack of appropriate options to move on to, and we know that the rental market is contracting continuously. One mother caught up in the rising numbers, Lorna Byrne, told her efforts to keep her daughters, aged 6 and 2, from knowing that they have no home of their own. Having lost a hospitality management job during the pandemic, the family has had to move 8 times in the last 2 years. Lorna Byrne, 29 years old, told Ireland's national television and radio broadcaster RTE, I try not to let the girls know that they're homeless. My oldest girl thinks we're on a kind of travel holiday because we've moved around so much. Lorna added, I let her think that we're experiencing Dublin a little bit. I don't want them to know that they're homeless in the sense of mental health and stigma. She said how each morning she ferries her children from their emergency accommodation in South Dublin to Bray, where the eldest attends school. And to save on train fare, she said she waits in Bray with her 2-year-old daughter until school ends in the afternoon. British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. The latest report showed nearly 13,500 people in the Republic of Ireland were homeless last month, the highest number ever recorded. The Simon community has said the government must do more to tackle the ever-worsening crisis, as nearly 4,000 Irish children are now living in emergency accommodation. Simon's figures show close to 200 more children have entered homelessness in the past month. Wayne Stanley, Executive Director of the Simon Communities of Ireland, said, the latest figures, another record high, are deeply upsetting. Wayne Stanley added, the moratorium on evictions slowed entries into homelessness during the winter months, so we know this shocking number of 13,179 men, women and children in homeless emergency accommodation may have been even higher had the moratorium not been in effect. He added, the government has clearly made the decision that they're not returning to an eviction ban. Wayne Stanley added, that decision means they have, now more than ever, a duty to ensure that there are required safety nets and solutions in place. Effective actions to begin turning the tide on homelessness have to be the top priority. Wayne Stanley added, we know there is a potential in the tenant in situ scheme as a prevention measure and a commitment to see it ramped up. He added, in addition, we need to see more homes secured and allocated to those experiencing the trauma of homelessness. We know that some of this work is taking place and that is welcome, but government action on homelessness has to be judged on results, and these figures are evidence that not enough is being done. David Carroll, the chief executive of DePaul, said, we can't afford to underplay the human misery attached to this crisis. Many people are living in trepidation of what's to come. David Carroll added, there is a significant rise in referrals of single men who are working, who have been asked to leave their property due to landlords selling up and a lack of housing options available and affordable housing options for single people. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. A new report estimated that almost 1 million people are homeless on any given night across Europe. FIANSA, the Federation National Organizations Working with the Homeless, said the figure, which only reflects the most visible forms of homelessness, highlights the failure of European countries to make housing a fundamental right. It estimated that at least 900,000 people are homeless each night across Europe, a population comparable to that of a city like Marseille or Turin. The data collected from the European Union countries and Britain ranges from census records to local authority figures and is a minimum estimate, as figures were not available for all six categories that the authors of the report used to define homelessness. These categories include those sleeping rough, people in emergency accommodation, and homeless people living temporarily in conventional housing with family and friends. The last category will resonate for many in countries like the Republic of Ireland, where housing has hit crisis levels, leaving working families evicted and having to live with family or friends. Freek Spinnewin, FIANSA's director, said, "Most governments in Europe continue to fail homeless people, frustrate the general public, and waste resources on ineffectively managing the problem." All the European Union's member states pledged last year to work to deliver on the fight against homelessness by 2030. However, the report said the problem has worsened, with only Finland and Denmark making demonstrable progress. In Germany, official census data puts the number of homeless people at 262,645. Spain recorded just over 28,500 for the same year, while the Republic of Ireland, where a lack of housing across the social divide is threatening Irish families, the official number of people in emergency accommodation was put at 11,632 at the end of 2022. The report said the number of those seeking accommodation services in the Republic of Ireland has increased by 45% in 2 years. The report added, "To Ireland, we would say, fix your dysfunctional housing market. To Germany, we say, make sure the National Homeless Strategy, which is to be launched soon, includes the objective to end homelessness and comes with sufficient budgetary resources." FIANSA also looked at poor quality housing and found that significant numbers of people in Britain, France, Bulgaria and Hungary were living in homes deemed substandard and unfit for living. Across the European Union, it called for greater awareness of the number of people housed in dilapidated properties, with damp and mould, overcrowding, inadequate sanitation and fire risk, which were the daily reality for millions of people in Europe.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam by Ayatollah Khamenei. The antidote to the enemies, Treasonous Plots, Lies in the Spirit of Resistance Among Palestinian Groups, October 1st, 2011. The Oslo Accords in the year 1993 and later on in complementary plans which were imposed one after the other on compromising and careless Palestinian groups with the intervention of America and the cooperation of colonialist European governments. The enemy tried its best to discourage the Palestinian nation and Palestinian groups from resisting through the use of empty and deceptive promises and making them busy with amateur political games. The uselessness of all these accords was revealed very soon, and the Zionists and their supporters repeatedly showed that they consider these accords as worthless pieces of paper. The goal of these plans was to create doubt among the Palestinians, make materialistic unbelievers greedy, and cripple Islamic resistance. So far, the spirit of resistance among the Islamic Palestinian groups and the Palestinian people has been the antidote to all these treacherous games. They stood up against the enemy with Allah's permission, and as promised by God, they benefited from divine assistance. And surely Allah will help him who helps his cause. Most surely Allah is strong, mighty. The Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 40. The resistance of Gaza, in spite of comprehensive siege, was an instance of divine assistance.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Palestine belongs to Palestinians. June 4th, 2011. We believe that all Palestinian lands belong to the Palestinians. Those who tried to wipe Palestine off the map of the world made a mistake. Such a thing will not happen. Palestine will survive. The usurpers have occupied Palestine for a few decades, but there is no doubt that the Palestinian lands will be restored to the people of Palestine and to the world of Islam. And this will happen. The people of Palestine are vigilant. Palestine cannot be partitioned. Palestine belongs to the Palestinians entirely.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The
Palestinian embassy in Moscow on Tuesday held a ceremony on the occasion of the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. In the meeting, Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bogdanov read a message by President Vladimir Putin to his Palestinian counterpart Mahmoud Abbas on the occasion of the Solidarity Day. The message said the creation of a sovereign Palestine within the 1967 borders is a key condition for resolving the Palestine conflict. According to the Russian diplomat, the Russian Foreign Ministry has engaged in intense efforts to help resolve the humanitarian situation in Gaza through cooperation with Iran and other countries.
From the very beginning, we advocated for a cessation of hostilities in order to channel this unprecedented escalation into political context with the goal to agree on an immediate de-escalation of tension and establish negotiations on humanitarian issues. Our contacts with Iran on Palestine take place at all levels between presidents and foreign ministers. Iran and Russia have powerful positions in the Middle East to help the Palestinians restore their right to self-determination and the creation of a sovereign state.
On the eve of the Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, Moscovites came to the Palestinian embassy and brought toys, flowers, and posters. In 1977, the UN General Assembly decided to observe November 29th annually as the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. On this day in 1947, the Assembly adopted a resolution on the partition of Palestine.
We are here today in solidarity with our people. For 75 years, Palestinians have suffered under Israeli Zionist occupation. Gaza has become a genocidal site in full view of the world, and no one is doing anything to stop the massacre of Palestinians. We demand our own Palestinian state with Al-Quds as its capital.
President Putin called it Russia's sacred duty to help people in Gaza. Since the latest escalation began, Russian aircraft have delivered over 57 tons of humanitarian aid to the population of Gaza. Humanitarian aid is being transferred to representatives of the Egyptian Red Crescent Society, who send it to Gaza.
The International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people coincides with Israel's deadly war in Gaza and its intensified atrocities against the people in the occupied territories. However, the determination of Palestinians to resist the regime's aggression is increasing day by day. Marina Kartonova, Moscow.
Three Palestinian prisoners, including three female prisoners and 30 minors, have been released by the Israeli occupation authorities after midnight in the fourth batch of the exchange agreement with Hamas movement. The freed prisoners expressed their gratitude to the Palestinian resistance, whom they described as the prisoners' backbone. They added that the resistance will do their utmost to release prisoners, mainly women and minors.
Since the first day of the war, when we knew the resistance took Israelis as prisoners, we knew that we would be free. We have always trusted in the resistance. The resistance, that's the backbone of the prisoners, Al-Quds and all Palestine. We really knew we will be free. Today we're both happy and sad at the same time. Our freedom was achieved, but thousands of Palestinians had been martyred. Their blood is a debt on us. We will not forget this. We ask them to forgive us, and inshallah, all the prisoners will be released.
The majority of the minors had been held under the administrative detention without charge or trial. Those freed minors have talked about how the Israeli soldiers tortured them and how they confiscated all of their belongings, including the radios, so they would not know what was going on outside the prisons or anything about the Israeli war on Gaza.
When the Al-Aqsa flood operation was carried out, we were surprised by soldiers with oppression tools and dogs storming our cells and attacking and beating the prisoners. One of the prisoners from Beit Sira was in a cell next to the cell we were held. He was killed. Did you know about him? He was killed because of the torture, and they didn't offer him any first aid. We're grateful to the resistance. Thanks to Allah for the bless of the resistance and Hamas. Thanks to Allah for the bless of Al-Ghassam, without whom no one would have imagined to be free.
Hours before an initial four-day truce in Gaza Strip was set to expire, Hamas movement confirmed that the humanitarian pause will extend by 2 days. This means more humanitarian aid would be allowed into Gaza, and more captives will be released from both sides. While the families of thousands of Palestinian prisoners are still hoping their loved ones would be freed, they also hope for the truce to be extended and the Israeli war on Gaza comes to an end. Mona Qandil, Occupied Ramallah.
Jamil, 11 years of age. Salma, 16. Jawan, 2. Muhammad, 13. These are the names of just four Palestinian children who have been slaughtered in Gaza since Israel started bombing the besieged territory on October 7. Their names, together with those of other 5,000 deceased Palestinian boys and girls, were placed on makeshift tombstones and displayed in Esquilino Square in the Italian capital to remember all children killed during Israel.